On a chilly evening in London, a man walked from his home towards the Thames River. He was bent on taking his own life. But as he passed by Westminster Abbey, something stopped him. At the evening service, something very special was happening. It was special, but not out of the ordinary. A man was singing, much like Greg was singing in the opening of our service, a single man singing in the church. One single voice, a powerful voice that carried out into the street. How can I take my own life if this is the soundtrack to the end? He must have thought. As many of us have experienced, the sound of beautiful music can stop us in our tracks. The man opened the door and he entered the church. He took a seat in a pew in the back row. And he came again the next week to church, now not Sunday evening, and then the next, and he came the next week. And eventually, he became a Christian. Martin Lloyd-Jones tells this story as he was the associate pastor at Westminster when this happened, a man saved by music. But perhaps not by music in some abstract sense, but saved by the recognition of a well-tuned heart lifting its voice to the heavens, because there's no other means by which it can be expressed. The 4th century Christian Athanasius said that music is a sounding image of a soul that is no longer at odds with itself, nor at odds with the Holy Spirit. The Christian who sings expresses his love for his God and gains spiritually by the act of singing itself. C.S. Lewis said it this way in his book, The Reflection on the Psalms. I think we delight to praise what we enjoy because the praise not merely expresses but completes the enjoyment. It is its appointed consummation. We can't fully enjoy something unless we praise it, he says. It completes the process to give out praise. We are natural praisers. We are emotional creatures who operate with both head and heart. God has given us this way to praise him. And even the non-believer can be startled by the spiritual quality of good music. Non-Christian music that is good reflects something good that God has made, and so by accident tells the things of God. In short, music is a powerful, powerful thing. It is this result of a spirit-driven heart that we look at today as we turn to the book of Ephesians, the book we've been going through now for some time, chapter 5, verses 18 to 21. You can turn there with me now. Ephesians 5, 18 to 21. Pastor Ron preached on the spiritual discipline of singing over a year ago, emphasizing singing in the home as well as in corporate worship. And I hope you take this discipline seriously. Are you singing together as a family? Do you sing with friends around the campfire or on road trips? And that's a great time to sing, by the way, road trips. I was struck a few years ago by men on a rooftop, men who were roofing a house. They were singing together as they worked. That's a rare sight, but a lost art if you ask me, because it doesn't just make the time go quicker, but it lifts the soul and encourages one another. This morning as we read our text, you'll see that singing is part of the practice of a heart lit up by the Holy Spirit. As we've been going through Ephesians lately, we've paid special attention to Christians as being a light amidst the darkness, walking as children of light. Let's read now from the Word of God, Ephesians 5, 18 to 21. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we open your word this morning, as we do each week in worship, do illuminate it for us. Let us know what it might mean to put these things into practice, but also let us know what it means that you saved us, and that by your love for us and by the sacrifice of Christ, we now have the Holy Spirit, that voice inside of us, that thing just yearning to sing, Lord. And let us, even as we analyze in some sort of mental way, let us just have this song inside of us that is just yearning to get out because we love you so much. Lord, let that be our joy this morning. We pray that now in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to commend to you an article I read just recently in Christianity Today. It's from June of this year. The article is by Stephen Guthrie. He teaches at Belmont University, and it's called Love the Lord with All Your Voice. It promotes this spiritual discipline of singing. He writes of the expressive nature of singing, but also of the impressive nature of singing. We often say that we sing to express ourselves, but it is the impression that singing leaves on the singer and listener that is its real spiritual value. It is the expression of a well-tuned heart and impresses in concrete and tangible aesthetic ways the realities of God. The elongation of notes, he says in his article, provides space for the speaker to enter in. The singer enters in by filling and animating them with her own strength and passion. In other words, if truth by listening to words comes in through the front door, music opens windows, vents, and it takes the roof right off so the truth can get inside. Of course, the power of music can go beyond lyrics themselves. Classical music, bluegrass music, can really speak the true things of God. My favorite band is from Iceland. They are called Sigur Rós. I have no idea what they're saying, but it's very, very beautiful. It's probably better that I don't know what they say. I speak of music because our text here gives us an alternative. Be filled with wine, which leads to debauchery, or to be filled by the Spirit. The verb here in verse 18, to be filled, is very common in the letter to the Ephesians. It's also always connected in Ephesians to one of the members of the Trinity. We are to be filled with all the fullness of God, which we read in chapter 3. Christ is the one who fills all in all, as we read in chapter 4. And here we are called to be filled by the Holy Spirit. The verb to be filled here is modified by 5 participles that you see there in the text. The Spirit-filled person should speak in songs, they should sing, they should make music, they should give thanks, and they should submit to one another. Notice that 3 of these 5 things that the well-tuned heart is meant to do are musical in nature. All of us are filled by something. That's the human predicament. You are filled. We are empty vessels in many ways, but easy to be filled up by stuff. And we are worshipers too. Those things that we hold most dear, the things that we fill up our lives with, our hearts and minds, we look to those things for significance. To put it in chemistry class terms, no man is an empty beaker. If there isn't a chemical in there, or isn't water, there is air. They will tell you there is something to be studied, and we are no different. There is something inside of us from where we draw our significance, something that we worship. So here we're presented with this alternative, being drunk on wine or being filled by the Spirit. Both come with them boldness, a sense of freedom, if you will. That's why in the book of Acts, when the apostles were preaching at Pentecost with such boldness, they were accused of being drunk. But being drunk is an escape from reality. It is a diminishing of reality, and soaring rather in the Spirit is becoming more connected to the real world. I'll quote Ayn Rand here, who promotes selfishness as a virtue. Some of you are familiar with her work. She acknowledges this and writes, "The pleasure of being drunk is obviously the pleasure of escaping the responsibility of consciousness. It is a disembodiment from the real world, from feeling real things." Now, to understand why Paul would use this vice in his argument, we must look at the surrounding context of both the letter and the culture into which it was written. In the Roman world, Bacchus was worshipped. This is the god of wine. In Greek mythology, this is known as Dionysus, the god of wine, often worshipped in drunken feasts, which erupted into all sorts of sexual deviance. And they found in these areas there are Roman homes with pictures and mosaics on the wall of lewd acts being committed. These feasts where they would be gluttonous and engage in all sorts of food. They would drink a lot and disembody themselves from the real world in order to feel something. Being drunk on wine here then is both instructive, as Christians should not get drunk, but also representative of all sorts of licentious behavior, which can lead to a life of debauchery. Being drunk is not a way to have the well-tuned heart. If you've been around a drunk person, they don't sing very well. And that's true in reality, and that's also true spiritually. And we should take that as a good lesson for us. Filling oneself with other things was as common then in the Roman world as it is today. And Paul warns of attempting to find fulfillment in sensual pleasures like food, like alcohol, and sex. The word here for debauchery is one that is used frequently in ancient literature. The word is related to the Greek verb which means to save. It is its opposite. So it means literally the opposite of preserving oneself, but rather wasting your life. Some of you might have heard of the recent youth movement that's been going on for a couple of years called YOLO. And if you haven't heard of YOLO, then I'm going to make everyone a little bit more hip this morning. The rapper Drake tweeted something in 2011, and he put the hashtag YOLO on it. It became a song, and it became a catchphrase for young people everywhere. It stands for "You Only Live Once." So why not live life to the fullest? Experience everything you can. Don't worry about what other people say is right and wrong. You only live once, so have at it. There are t-shirts, bumper stickers, all sorts of merchandise promoting this motto. License is not new. It just takes on new forms in various cultures and times. But every person is filling up on something. I'd like to start a new youth movement. It's called YOLF. It's not as snappy as YOLO, but it stands for "You Only Live Forever." So you better get it together. We are eternal creatures, and all of us have an eternal destiny. This life is quite important. We're led now to the other alternative in verse 18, to be filled by the Spirit. Now, we don't have time to get into all the grammar here, but the translation filled with the Spirit is tough here grammatically. And I know that's how the NIV and the ESV has filled with the Spirit. But it more likely means to be filled by the Spirit. As we said, it's because it's connected in Ephesians to all three members of the Trinity. We should take this to mean that the Spirit is the one who fills us, as it says in chapter 3, with all the fullness of God. It's not just being filled with the Spirit for some specific purpose, but rather be filled in a holistic and broad sense by all the good things that God the Father has given us. To be filled by God and not the things of darkness is the very application that Paul wants us to see. Now, I should offer a little disclaimer here. There are so many times and places where people have argued about drinking and the Christian life. We need to take this seriously in Ephesians 5. Don't get drunk. But is there some value to things like wine and beer? You may notice in 1 Timothy 5:23, there's an encouragement to drink wine for health ailments. There's the wedding in John 2 where wine was being drunk, where Jesus was there in attendance and made the wine. Those are things that we know as Christians. We pray for wisdom. We seek the will of God in what we do. But we are often too quick and have been too quick in the history of the church to say all these things are just bad. But use wisdom. Be smart. Don't get drunk. Now, this positive verb, to be filled, is followed, as I said, by these five participles, speaking in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, sing, make music, give thanks, and submit to one another. These are the things that a heart being tuned by the Spirit will do. There's a parallel passage to this one in Colossians chapter 3. And in that passage, which is also near the end of that letter, as it is in Ephesians, we read this: let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him. The listing here of psalms in Ephesians most likely does refer to the psalm book of the Old Testament, a song book used for public worship. Hymns and spiritual songs are songs that would have been used in worship during the first century. We may find one line from one of those songs just up a little bit in Ephesians 5, in Ephesians 5:14. Now, this is an argument, too, against the view that only singing psalms, the psalms as we have in our Bible, in church, is the only way to go. But here we see hymns and spiritual songs are to be sung as well. And speak to one another using God's word, as the passage in Colossians tells us, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, so that erupting from you are psalms, spiritual songs to each other, encouraging words said to one another. He goes on to say, sing and make music and do it well. Now, if you're thinking, well, I'm not good at singing, notice these words in the text as well. It says, sing from your heart. Paul is speaking to everyone together, but every single person in the family of God is included in this call. Singing is good for you. It allows your spiritual expression, but it leaves an indelible impact and impression on your heart. It's a discipline that helps you grow spiritually. I enjoy the movie Junebug. I don't know if anyone's seen the movie Junebug, but I do recommend it. It's a very good film. It's about a guy who is left his home in North Carolina to go to the big city and become a big city fella. And he marries this girl and he forgets everything that he was connected to, including his spiritual life at home. They have to go back to North Carolina to see his family. for some other reasons, and they go to his church, which he had not been to for many, many years. They have a potluck at the church, and the pastor, and this is one of the few movies where the pastor is portrayed as a normal person. But the pastor asks this guy to sing a song, and here is this wife, this very jet-setting wife, who had never heard her husband sing, sees her husband walk to the front of this assembly hall and sing the song softly and tenderly. And it's amazing in the movie because they give like full two verses time for this man to sing, and he has an incredible voice. And she's shocked. She had no idea that this man was a singer. Well, you too are a singer. And I don't care if your voice is wonderful or your voice is hardly recognizable as music, you are a singer. There is great value in corporate worship, especially for the purpose of aiding people to worship well, to do things skillfully. Psalm 33 is a place where we find encouragement to sing with joy. In fact, it rings throughout the Psalms, sing with great joy. But this Psalm, Psalm 33, tells us to play with skill, because creativity and musical ability, these are gifts from God, and we can use them to glorify God. We should seek to improve on them for those who are given those gifts. I'm not going to sing a solo here at Old Orchard because I'm not very good at singing. But the Lord has blessed us with extremely talented musicians who can make our worship big and beautiful so that we all might be edified. And we should thank God for that. And those people should continue to seek to do worship well. And I've still got to sing. By doing so, the truth of what God has done for me will be ever more solidified within my heart. When I'm feeling discouraged, I sing. I sing praises to the Lord. As I'd mentioned, car trips are a great time to sing. When Marcy and I are together and we're going on a road trip somewhere and we sing hymns together, never more connected do we feel to one another, but never more good do we feel about the love of our God to us. If you're angry about something, try singing. It's hard to stay angry when you are set free by really good music. And when you are here, when you're in worship, let yourself soar. Let yourself sing with great joy and with great volume. In the book of Acts, Paul and Silas were in prison, and how did they encourage one another? They sang. And then when the guards saw their faith, this was after there was an earthquake and their honesty about no one having escaped despite the earthquake, the guard says to them, "How can I be saved?" Something was very attractive about the joy that they shared in singing. Music is something to which really everyone can relate as well. That's the fantastic thing about just music in general. So when you're looking for bridges, ways to talk with non-believers, music is a wonderful way to reach them. There are concerts to go to. There is music to share. Have you heard this great new record? Alyssa Catlin has a concert upcoming right here at this church. Shameless plug for that. August 1st. Bring a friend. We've had friends come when we've had the crossing come and play, people who are just really enchanted by the music. Particularly as we move now into a post-Christian culture, it seems, you find that common ground and you're light in a dark world. And you need not shy away from everything as some people have done in Christian circles. So much is good in music, and every good thing that we have, whether it's food, whether it's music, these things come from God Himself. Next in this list of things that the well-tuned heart is meant to do comes thanksgiving, being thankful for everything in the name of the Lord. We don't have time to get into that now, but I want to skip on to the last one, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. I move on to this one now. As you know, coming up in the next part of Ephesians is the very famous call for wives and husbands to submit to one another. But I want us to notice here in verse 21, this is for everyone. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And what that means is submission is the call for every Christian to have this conciliatory attitude towards one another in love is part of having the well-tuned heart. This doesn't mean, of course, that you should let others walk all over you. But as you've experienced, as many of you know, working with others with whom you don't agree, spending time with those whom you find difficult, listening to one another and respecting others, because we are all part of the same body of Christ, is an important attitude to have for the Christian, this attitude of submitting to one another. This is what it says in Philippians 2, verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. That's a reminder from Paul to value others. And that is hard to do. But that's what we are to do as Christians. And in Romans 12:10, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. And I would challenge you with that this morning. Are you really doing that? And I have to check myself as well. This is hard to do. But to honor one another with service and submission to them, listening to them, even when it's very difficult. Making those hard phone calls, going to see people when it's out of your way, when you have so much going on in your life, but submit to one another. Well, in closing, I want to reiterate the call to the well-tuned heart, a heart that is filled by the Holy Spirit with all the fullness of God. These things that we are to do as Christians are very important. They're musical, and they're musical because we can say it really in no other way. In the parable of the prodigal son, which we heard read earlier in our service, we stopped the reading right at verse 24, but the next verse says this, and the older brother who was outside the house upon the return of the younger one into the home, heard music and dancing coming from inside. That's what we do when there's reconciliation. That's what we do when there's salvation. It causes jubilation, music and singing, and even dancing. The angels were told in God's word, rejoice at your salvation. And how did they do it? By singing. If you think, I have a small voice, I have a bad voice, well, I am right there with you. But it's actually a great picture of the gospel at work. You think, my voice is not good enough, and you're like me, you know it's just not sounding the way it should. But when you get close to someone in worship who can really sing, you notice as you get nearer to them and many people start singing around you, your voice together with theirs actually sounds quite good. And then you get all the people of God together and we can make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You see, your voice is broken. Your record before the Lord is broken. It is not good enough. But because of what Jesus has done, God sees his performance, God sees his record. And now when we sing together, God hears our voice as the people of God, the body of Christ, which he purchased by his blood. And let me tell you this, you sound pretty good to him. And so don't shy away from singing praises to the Lord. And know that your voice and your life, despite its imperfections, are worthy of being part and an important part of the kingdom of God. And so I say, sing on, sing loud. Just as God sees not your sin, but the righteousness of Christ, he hears not your weak voice, but the bold, soaring voice of the body of Christ, making music together. I hope we always can do that well here in our church at Old Orchard. Make good music pleasing to the Lord. And I know by his faithfulness, he allows us to do that. I hope that does encourage you this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do have weak voices. We are broken vessels. And so often we allow ourselves to be filled up by things that are not righteous, things that are not from you. Lord, help us in our hearts. Continue to grow us. Sanctify us by your Holy Spirit, that we might be filled with all the good things you have made, filled with all the fullness of knowing you. And Lord, because you have sent your Son Jesus to purchase us, it is his righteousness that is now given to us, though we were undeserving, though we were dirty and messy, Lord, because of your mercy, righteousness is now ours. Let us proclaim it to one another. Let us sing to one another. Let by that singing, let us be comforted. Let us be encouraged. Let us be strengthened in heart. We pray this now in the name of Jesus. Amen.